Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's fourth quarter 2017 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Welcome everyone to this conference call. We will be reviewing the fourth quarter of 2017 numbers. As usual, in page number three, you have the agenda for the call. We'll start with our financial review. Then we will go a little bit deeper into the business segments. We will be talking about the evolution of the markets during the last quarter of the year and also the outlook for the rest of this year. We will go then to material facts and news, and we will end up, as usual, with a Q&A session. If we jump to page number four, we can see a summary of what was the quarter compared to last quarter of the year, and we can see that we had a slight decrease in revenues of about $60 million from $1,393 million to $1,331 million. Our adjusted EBITDA went down from $392 million to $344 million for the quarter. We will explain the reasons to that afterwards. Our net income went down from $148 million to $83 million for this quarter. In terms of net debt and leverage, we had a quite stable net debt, but because of our increase in our last 12 months EBITDA, our leverage went down from 2.9 to 2.7 times. Page number five, regarding the decrease in revenues of $62 million, which is a 4.5%. They are explained basically by lower volumes in the pulp business and also the wood product business. In the case of the pulp business, it was compensated by higher average prices of about 11%, basically because of the trend in prices that we have been seeing during 2017. In terms of wood products, we had lower sales volume affected by the strike in ports in Chile of about 10 days in November, and also a blockage of one of our sawmills during the last part of November and December. That blockage also affected the Constitución mill in the pulp division, also affecting production volumes and sales volumes. In terms of cost of sales, we had a decrease in cost of sales of $54.4 million, and that is basically explained by lower volumes of sales, which we talked before. Also we had a slight increase in unitary cost of production. That is explained again by more program maintenance in our mills this quarter compared to the third quarter, and also the disruptions in the production that we saw in the Constitución mill in the case of the unbleached softwood pulp that we already talked about. In page number six, we have an increase this quarter in administrative expenses. The account that explains this increase is basically the sub-account other administration expenses, which is partly explained by third-party services that went up in Uruguay. Also, we had a very small increase in donations that is normally done in the last part of the year in Chile. In terms of distribution cost, we have a $5 million decrease or 4%. That is again explained by lower volume of sales, especially in the pulp division this quarter. Page number 7, we have a decrease in other income of $54 million. The main explanation for this is an adjustment that was done to our inventory of forest during the quarter that affected the normal increase that we have every quarter in the previous quarter. In terms of other expenses, we have an increase of $55 million, and in this case, the explanation is that we had an abnormal quarter in the third quarter when we make a gain provision, because we were going to receive the insurance claim for the forest fire of $35 million, and that affected reducing the expenses. And the cash was received the fourth quarter, but since we have already a provision, it didn't affect the accounts of the fourth quarter. We also have an increase in impairment provision this quarter of $27 million, basically related to PP&E and some spare parts that were impaired as we normally do every year. In terms of financial costs, page 8, we have a $62 million increase, and that is almost 100% explained by a one-time accounting charge related to the repurchase of the bonds that we did in November. This is because we bought back the bonds at above par, and that well, we have to increase our financial expenses of $62 million. This is a one-time effect. In terms of income tax, this is offsetting the increases in cost and expenses. We had a positive income tax of $95 million. That is a $147 million difference compared with the third quarter. The main explanation for this change is that we accounted for the effects of the indirect tax of the change in income tax announced in Argentina and the United States. Those effects are basically about $60 million in Argentina for the reduction of tax rate from 35% to 30%. That has an impact on deferred tax liabilities. And also the United States, which approved a reduction in tax rate from 35% sorry, to 21%. That effect is lower, it's about $17 million. Then we have the effect of the adjustment that I already talked in the inventory of forest that has a positive effect of another $16 million in deferred tax. Those effects plus a lower income before tax makes a huge difference in terms of the income tax expense. So in page 9, if we look at the summary of the net income, we can see that for the quarter, we have a reduction from $148.4 million to $83.2. And then we can see here the full year 17 to compare to year 16. You can see there that our net income went up from $217 million to $270 million, sorry. And this is also take into account that on year 17 we had to make the provision for the forest fires in Chile that affected especially the line of other income. Okay, we go to page 10 and we look at the evolution of our adjusted EBITDA. We can see that we had an EBITDA of 344, which is of course lower than we saw in quarter three, but it's much higher than we had a year ago. You can see that the trend of increasing prices was already disrupted by decreasing volumes because of the blockage in the Constitución mill and also in the Viñales sawmill, and also because of the port strike that delayed some sales in especially in wood products. In terms of the, every division, we can see that the pulp division was almost stable, going up only 1.3%, and the EBITDA margin reached of almost 40% this quarter. But wood division had a decrease of 24%, as I explained, because of decreasing sales in volume of their main products. The EBITDA margin for the whole company was 26%, a reduction from the 28% that we saw on the third quarter of 2017. Now, if we go to page 12 and we talk a little bit more about the pulp business, we can start with the graph of the index of NBSK and BHKP. You can see there the evolution of prices during 2017 with a sharp increase in both fibers. And we can see there that in terms of list prices, right now the spread between fibers is about $61. If we look at net prices in China, and we're going to see that in the following page, the spread is about $100 per ton of net prices in China. In terms of demand for bleach chemical pulp, we can see that for the whole year 17, the increase in demand was 3.3%, about 1.6 million tons of more demand. That is, as usual, explained by the increase in China and the other markets. If we go to page 13, we can see the slight increase in pulp division EBITDA. That is explained by a decrease in volume of 12.8%. And increase in price of 11.2%. Year over year, we see more big increases, like 30% in price and 11% less in volume. As a comment, we can say that during the quarter, the pulp prices continued to increase and all markets were very active. This explained by healthy demands all over the world growing and increasing the demand for pulp. In terms of what happens in prices at the end of the quarter, prices in China started to stabilize, and most of the Asian paper producers and also in Europe, they were able to pass increases in pulp price to their final customers in paper. We had the impact, as I told you, of the blockage in Constitución Mill. It lasted 38 days. Remember, this was for because of a lot of time by truck drivers in that mill, and we lost about 35,000 tons of production on that mill. The mill started production at the end of December and is producing normally. We also have some annual maintenance stoppages that were programmed in Arauco Line 2, Nueva Aldea, and Argentina, and that affected the volume also in the third quarter, but it was programmed that way. Page 14. You can see a graph showing production and sales, and you can see the reduction from compared to last quarter. We produced 834,000 tons, and we sold 887,000 tons. And you can see there the lines that were stopped, the Arauco Line 2, that is a line of 510,000 tons, the Nueva Aldea, which is a 1 million ton mill, and the Argentina, which is a 350,000 ton, but it was stopped for 30 days. In terms of inventory, we can see the evolution there, and we can see that we saw some reduction, especially in the HKP compared to September, and a slight reduction in the BHKP compared to September also. Very normal levels and comparing the average of the last 12 months. Page 15, in terms of outlook, we are quite positive with what is happening in the market. We see good demand for pulp generally as world economies continue growing. As I told you before, paper producers have been able to pass price increases, and we still see the unsorted waste paper restructuring in China influencing demand. And also we have seen some catch-up of pricing in Europe to the prices that we saw in China. Right now we think that the gap between prices in China and Europe could be around $50 to $55 in hardwood pulp. As you can see the graph over there, evolution of prices. We have had stable prices in both fibers for January, February, and March, standing at $890 per ton for softwood and $790 per softwood. It's a very good price, and we're seeing that this situation continues. We haven't announced price yet for April. We're going to do soon, I think. And in terms of more medium to long term, we think that we're going to have next 3, probably 4 years a very good environment for producers, because there's continued to be an increasing demand of about 1.5 to 2 million tons per year, and no new capacity coming up, as there are no new greenfield pulp mills being built or being commissioned in the coming years. So we think that this situation could continue, of course, with the normal inter-year cyclicality that we can see. In terms of maintenance for the next 2 quarters, we already had the stoppage of Licancel, Constitución, now we're going to have, we're having the Valdivia and Arauco Line 1 in April. Now we're moving to page 16, wood product business. Here we have a decrease of 24% in the EBITDA of the wood product business. And the big impact here was basically the sawn timber and plywood business that was more affected by volume, especially coming from Chile because of the port strike, and also because of reduction in production in the Vignale summer. In terms of composite panels, things are more or less stable with some more pressure in the North American market, Latin America being stable. And in terms of plywood, we saw volume decrease, but somehow prices went up a little bit, so compensating somehow this decrease in volumes. The volume that was lost because of the port strike can be recuperated in this first quarter of 2018. In terms of page 17, we can see there the graph of production. Panels is quite stable in terms of production and sales because of the diversification of mills that we have around the world. Sawn timber and plywood has more impact in terms of sales volume because of most of production is exported from Chile. And so there we can see the impact in sawn timber volume from 634 to 586, and also the impact in sales of plywood from 148 to 134,000 cubic meters. In terms of outlook for the wood product business, first starting with our biggest market, which is North America. The housing start was over 1.3 million units of January. This is the maximum of the last 12 months. As you can see, the graph, it continues to go up a little bit every year, from the lowest part of the cycle in 2009, which we were at 490,000 units per year. In terms of the different products, MDF demand remains stable, no major changes expected. MDF moldings are also stable, some increase in inventories. In terms of remanufactured wood products, we are seeing some pressure in solid moldings, especially coming from competition in China and Brazil. This, I think, is the only product from the wood product portfolio that we think that we have more pressure in the market. The rest are behaving quite well this quarter. Also plywood, that we are seeing good demand and good pricing for North America. Page 19. Now going to Central and South America, which represents 34% of our sales. We are seeing good demand in Brazil, good results, some improvement in local consumption that has led to higher sales and volume prices. We have no new mills entering the first semester, but we are seeing some new capacity coming at the second semester of this year that could affect the market dynamics. In Argentina, market stable with some good results in some categories, in construction improving in the back of good economy results in Argentina. Chile with slight improvement in demand, but the markets it's expected to continue improving during the rest of this year. The rest of the market, which represents less percentage, like Asia and Oceania and Europe and the Middle East, have some steady conditions with some opportunity for price increases. And in the Middle East, we have some reduction in construction. But not very important in terms of percentage of our sales here. Page 20, in terms of free cash flow, this quarter we were able to deliver a $47 million positive free cash flow. That is a reduction compared with the 84 of last quarter, but this quarter we had a payment of provisory dividends of $64 million, and also we had a higher capex coming from our investment in grain. So in terms of cash from operations, we had better results, but we had more expenses that were influenced by this capex program and also by the dividends that we pay every last quarter of the year. In terms of our evolution of net debt, the reduction in the increase in free cash flow, positive free cash flow, was compensated by some inflation derivative of our debt because of exchange rate changes. And, of course, we had a decrease in accurate interest variation because of the purchase of debt and other effects that end up with our net debt at almost $3.7 billion. Page 21, you can see our evolution of leverage now at 2.7 times. That is a big reduction compared with the 3.7 that we had a year ago. The main explanation for this is the better last 12 months EBITDA that we are showing. The EBITDA for the whole year 2017 was $1,364 million, which is much better than we had the year before. Our cash and cash equivalents went up 21% as our cash from operating activities increased, and also because of the effect of the repurchase and the issuance of $900 million of bonds. Our gross financial debt is $4,274 million, and our cash and cash equivalents almost $600 million at the end of the year. Page 22, we are showing our maturity profile, now modified because of the repurchase of bonds that we did last year. So we have lower amortizations coming up in 2019, 21, and 22. The main part of the $500 million that we have to pay this year is made of bank obligations. We have $185 million that is due on normal amortizations in the Montes de Plata company in Uruguay. Almost $200 billion that we have to pay in a loan that is maturing in September. That loan was originally $300 million, and we amortized last year to $100 million. Then we have some small $44 million payment of guaranteed leasings and some small amortization in our Brazilian subsidiary. In terms of bond obligations, we have to pay amortizations of local bonds of $22 million and $41.2 million in interest of local and U.S. bonds. Now you can see the new bonds that are due in 2027, $500 million, and in the column of 2028 and thereafter, we have the $400 million that we issued at a tenor of 30 years and a coupon rate of 5.5%. Now moving on to the material facts and news, page 24. We finally acquired the Macisa subsidiary in Brazil. The deal was announced in September. The price was $103 million for the assets, with a payment for the equity of almost $60 million. Just to remember, the main assets consist of two industrial complexes in Ponta Grossa and Montenegro, of a total installed capacity of 800,000 cubic meters, which 300,000 are of MDF and 500,000 of MDP. The transaction was closed in December. We paid a part of the equity, and then in January we paid some intercompany debt that was due from that company. So now we are in the process of consolidation of these assets, and we are very happy with the results that we have obtained in this first month of 2015. Then, on page 25, at the end of the year, we announced that we signed an agreement to acquire the assets of Macisa in Mexico. In this case, the price of the assets is $245 million. We have three complexes located in Chihuahua, Durango, and Zitácuaro. with a total capacity of also around 800,000 cubic meters, divided in 220,000 cubic meters of MDF, 520,000 cubic meters of particle board, but also with a melamine capacity of 426,000 cubic meters, 66,000 tons of red lines, and 60,000 tons of formaldehyde. Of course, as usual in this transaction, it is subject to condition precedent. The most important part of those is the approval of the Mexican antitrust authority. We still think that this could happen sometime during the second semester of this year. Page 26, the Grayling project continues advancing, and you can see photographs there in the winter. Now we are at about 30% completion. The project is about $400 million capex, and we'll have a capacity of 800,000 cubic meters. It will be the most modern and biggest plant in the U.S., and we expect to have the first panel coming up from the mill in the later part of 2018. Page 27, the dissolved pulp project is underway. We are at this point at 11% completion. We have already secured the equipment. So the first part already committed is about $45 to $50 million in the equipment that will form part of this project. Remember, the estimated capex is about 185, and we expect to start producing dissolving pulp at the end of the year 2019. Of course, this mill will be able to switch back from to paper grade if prices are higher than the dissolving pulp. Finally, page 28, I would like to comment that we are very happy to see that this fire season was much lower than last year. This year, up to date, we have only 450,000 hectares affected by fires in Chile. That is a 99.4% reduction compared with the 72,500 hectares that were burned during the wildfires of 2017. This is a big result of a big effort that we did this year with hiring best men in fire combat and detection. We invested about $35 million this time compared to the $20 million. Hiring better equipment like the helicopter that you see there over there. We had put a lot of efforts in coordinating communities, other companies, and the government, not only in fire combat, but also in prevention campaigns. And of course, we had the luck to have a much better weather conditions this time that helped us reduce significantly the forest fire disease. Now it's raining in the south of Chile, so we think that it's very unlikely that we have another fire. So I think we are very happy now. So this is the end of the Q&A session, the presentation, and now we would like to open for any questions that you have about the presentation or the results. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star then two. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Pedro Vieira of Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. You mentioned the sales volumes lost in the fourth quarter attributable to the port strike could be recovered. Could you please let us know the volumes amount lost due to this 10-day strike?
I don't have the exact number. I mean, this recovered because it's only delayed, because all the vessels are delayed and all the volume starts increasing in the stocks in the ports. And the effect of that volume in the fourth quarter, I don't have the exact number, but it's completely absorbed in the sales of in the following quarter. So it should be no effect. The only effect that you could have is the effect in the Viñales sawmill that lost about a month of production. but the whole effect of the ports is completely worked out in the following days and in the following month after the port strike ends. So I would say no effect if you take the two quarters combined.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Carlos De Soto of Bank of Chile. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. I was going to ask you on welding, is the tax reform affecting you in any way? Do you plan to have any of that CapEx as an expense, as an accelerated depreciation? Also, the discounts, did you negotiate any discounts for 2018? And finally, on MAPA, how advanced is the pipeline in MAPA? Would you be able to do a JV, given that there is some interest from the Indonesian producers to secure production? Thank you.
Sorry, the first question I didn't catch up. The tax reform, where are you talking about? In the U.S.?
In the U.S., you can put CAPEX as accelerated depreciation. Is that something that you plan to do, or you haven't considered?
Well, not yet. I mean, the mill is not yet ready, and I don't have any clarity yet if we can accelerate the depreciation in the U.S. But from now, we are enjoying the reduction in the income tax. So we are paying less taxes every year for the income that we are making in the U.S. But it's not clear for me if we can accelerate the depreciation in the grading mill yet. I mean, we haven't finished yet, so I see we can analyze that once we end up the construction. And also, you asked about the discount for 2018. You're talking about what, prices? Oh,
right. Should we consider any discounts on for 2018 that you have maybe recently negotiated? I think there was a port week in Shanghai.
No, I mean, every year we have some small discounts for volume targets for the full year, but that's not very significant in terms of reduction in prices. And we don't see any big changes on the prices we are negotiating every month. Not big changes from this year compared to last year. And in terms of we are not contemplating any joint venture. I mean, if we do MAPA, we're going to do it on our own. And I think there's enough market for the coming year to absorb production of the new pulp mill if we do it alone, and we have the resources to do it ourselves. So we are not contemplating any joint venture in the MAPA project at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Leopoldo Silva of Lariatal. Please go ahead.
Hello, Gianfranco. Thanks for taking my question. I have several, if I may. So first of all, I would like to ask why your stampage level are being reduced, even though you're not selling less wood. At least on a year-on-year basis. I would like to ask what's the reason for this, and is this a permanent status that we might see here and further on? Secondly, I would like to ask further on the prepaid of loans. I had in mind that you had them at book value in your books, and you said you were repurchasing at par. I mean, you had them at par value on your book, and you were repurchasing at par. Let me know what I'm missing here, but I thought that wouldn't produce any loss on your income statement. And thirdly, could you please explain further why your gain in your changes in fair value have been reduced? Is this a matter of growth, prices, sinisters, And is this going to be studied further on? If I may?
Okay, thanks a lot. Sorry?
Go on, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, regarding the repayment of the bonds, we bought them above par, not at par. Sorry if I was misunderstood, but since the interest rates were higher than the yields, we bought them above par, so that's why we paid more than the book value, and that's why we recorded a loss.
All right.
And regarding the stampage, I think that the stampage reduction you're seeing probably is an effect of less volume harvested because we have less production volume of our products, let's say pulp and wood products. That means that we harvest less, and that in that sense we have less stampage. And also a reduction in the book value also of the trees affects the stampage value. Those effects must be explaining the reduction in stumpage that you've seen. And now, in terms of growth of forest, this is a one-time impact that we made when you do an inventory and you check with your models of IFRS valuation. We saw some differences not in total volume of the wood that we were supposed to have according to the models, but in the composition of the different products. So we had less prune logs that are more valuable than the model predicted, and that's why we made an adjustment that affected the inventory and also the tables we use for production of the volume. And that is the impact of the 50 million. So it's supposed to be one time. We shouldn't go on in the next quarter.
Great, thanks. And lastly, could you please update us on the parameters of the MAPA project? I've recently read on newspapers that the initial investment was updated to $2.5 billion, and this is more than what we had previously as a guideline, and does this have to do with higher costs that you all have in mind, or maybe an increase in capacity?
So at this time we don't have really 100% clear the investment we have, because we have to quote the equipment again and we have to analyze all the technical specifications. So it's still an approximation of three. I don't know where it came, the 2.5. And also we have to remember that from the investment we have already done a part of that, which is the water treatment facility in Arauco, which is about $130 million. That is sunk cost. So at this time we don't have clarity on the investment. There's some exchange rate implications because of most of the equipment comes from Europe, so it's denominated in euros. So that could have an effect, but we haven't negotiated with the equipment vendor. We don't have a definite number, and that's why we are not ready to go to the board yet. So I will not take that 2.5 for granted. It could be 2.3 or less, we don't know yet. The capacity is still designed to be about 1.5 million tons for a net increase of 1.2, because we're going to be closing down line one, which is about 300,000 tons.
Right. All right. And lastly, sorry, and also in the same interview on the newspaper, the guideline for sales for the Michigan mill was $300 million a year. Is that what you have in mind? This was an interview on the El Mercurio newspaper Saturday.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes, could be. I mean, could be that, a little bit less depending on pricing, but I think that MDF prices are about $350, something like that. Dollars per ton, so if you multiply 100,000, you could have more or less that number of prices. Oh, for the total revenue.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yep.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Trifello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks for listening to this call. As usual, we are available for any further questions through email or by phone to our investor relations team. And we will be probably publishing the results for the first quarter during May, probably middle May, something like that. So let's keep in touch, and thank you for attending the call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.